This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 9th of February 2024. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper, with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle, dated the 8th of February 2024. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are: Bosses quizzed on health plans, fears raised over plans to close tips, and maximum council tax rise planned. So we will start with the story behind the first.
Bosses quizzed on health plans. Civic chiefs grilled hospital bosses for more than 3.5 hours on their multi-million pound proposals. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, HHFT, and Hampshire and the Isle of Wight Integrated Care Board presented its plans for hospital services across the county to Winchester City Council's Health and Environment Committee. A wide range of issues were discussed, including finances, access and services, in front of a gathering of about 15 people on Wednesday, January the 31st. The plans are for a new specialist acute hospital on the edge of Basingstoke, using more than 800 million government funding. The Royal Hampshire County Hospital would be refurbished and a 24/7 urgent treatment centre opened. The maternity unit at the hospital would also be downgraded to be midwife-led. The new hospital would open in 2032. Philip Glassbury said, "It's important for a city of our size to have an A&E. The new hospital will increase the strain on our ambulance services." Max Prizeman said, "Why are there no plans for improved transport links? Patients who don't drive will be even more disadvantaged." Danny Chambers, Winchester's Liberal Democrat election candidate, said, "This has caused a lot of anxiety. I'm concerned about the funding. Have you got written confirmation that the project is funded in full?" Alex Whitfield, chief executive of HHFT, said, "This is an opportunity to make the services we offer much better. We think the option we are proposing is better for all patients." There currently isn't public transport to the proposed site at Junction 7. Councillor Stephen Cramerson, the committee's chairman, asked if other sites for a new hospital had been considered, including Sir John Moore Barracks. Ms. Whitfield said the Sir John Moore Barracks site had been considered. Councillor Johnny Morris asked if the funding of between 700 million and 900 million had been guaranteed. Ms. Whitfield said the Department of Health and Social Care wrote to us and said the budget for Hampshire is 700 million and 900 million, and we should progress to develop a plan to then write an accurate business case. The debate will be used to inform the Council's official response to the consultation, which is open until March the 17th.
Fears raised over plans to close tips. Council's proposal labelled as utterly stupid. Tip closure plans in Hampshire towns have been labelled as completely and utterly stupid. Residents in Alsford and Bishop's Waltham have shared their dismay at Hampshire County Council's proposals, which includes shutting the tips at Claylands Road and Prospect Road. The authority hopes to save £1.6 million per year and has proposed closing some household waste recycling centres, axing school crossing patrols and shutting some care homes. among other things. In Bishop's Waltham, Fred Woodfine, former owner of the Anvil Tea Room, said, "It's short-sighted and completely and utterly stupid. All it does is encourages fly tipping. I use the tip a couple of times a month. The number of people who do use it justifies retaining it." Andrew Cliff of Old Allsford said, "It's a really bad idea. People are going to fly tip. I'm a builder, so I use a skip when at work, but we take all our recycling to the tip. It'd be a pain to go to Winchester or Alton. Fly tipping is going to happen more." Residents in two market towns have slammed plans to close their waste recycling centres. The County Council is proposing a series of cutbacks, including closing tips in Allsford, Bishop's Waltham, Fair Oak, Hayling Island and Hartley Wintney. The Council's plan will also impact opening hours and days and change the type of waste accepted at other Household Waste Recycling Centres, HWRC, and would save around £500,000 per year. This will help to plug a £132 million budget shortfall by April 2025. In Bishop's Waltham, retired Fred Woodfine, former owner of the Anvil Tea Room, said, "It's short-sighted and completely and utterly stupid." Michael, who declined to give his surname, agreed and said, "It's part of a broad spectrum of desperate cuts. Of course, if it closes, it's a longer journey, which is more out of your leisure time. Then you've got to plan and queue. If you start closing these recycling centres, you'll get longer queues at the one that remain." Lindsay Dodd Long of Nursery Road said, "I think it's unfortunate. This is a large local area and the tip is used by a lot of people. A lot of people are really worried about it. I feel that there's so much fly tipping happening here already and it's just going to increase it. It would be a real shame, and with the new houses coming, it's just going to get worse. I think the council needs to understand how many people use the tip and the effect closing it is going to have." Cheriton resident Sean Adams was particularly irate. "I think it's going to be awful. I think they should concentrate on cutting costs by cutting the wages of the staff. All that happens is the council taxes go up and services are trimmed back. I couldn't vote for anyone who thinks it's a good idea." Anthony Oxley of Pound Hill said, "Having to travel to Alton or Winchester means we're going to have to use more petrol, and it's all going to take more time. I think a lot of people are just going to fly tip instead." Michaela Corby of South Road said, "To be honest, since they changed it so that you had to book to go, it's been less useful. At the end of the day, Winchester has a good dump. Allsford is good real estate, and the dump could be turned into nice houses or something. We have to move with the times."
Maximum council tax rise planned. Households across Hampshire could see their council tax rise by almost 5% from April, as the County Council wants to raise an extra £39 million. The total £836 million expected council tax income for 2024-25 will represent 72.1% of the total funding of Hampshire County Council's net budget. In the last month, some councils under financial pressure have had no alternative but to issue Section 114 notices, effectively declaring bankruptcy due to the economic pressures. Despite this, Hampshire County Council insists that its financial position is not as bad as other authorities, and its savings plan can keep it afloat as long as the UK government takes responsibility and helps. However, to get extra funding, the County Council proposes increasing the council tax by 4.99%, the maximum allowed without a referendum. This means that for the financial year starting on April the 1st, the council tax for Band D properties would be £1,533.24 instead of the current £1,460.25, working out as an extra £1.40 a week. In the recently approved savings plan, the council said it could raise around £90.4 million to plug a £132 million budget shortfall by April 2025. This plan, currently in the consultation phase, includes closing 12 tips, stopping support to people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness, withdrawing funding for community transport, introducing car parking charges at countryside car parks, or withdrawing from the school crossing patrol service at initially 26 sites. Following ongoing lobbying, more than 40 MPs sent a letter to the Prime Minister this month, urging him to provide emergency funding to councils to prevent major reductions in local services. As a result, a £600 million package will be sent to councils as an emergency measure. Although the exact figure each council will receive are not yet known, Hampshire County Council expects to receive £10 million. The Deputy Chief Executive and Director of Corporate Operations, Rob Carr, said in the report that will be presented next week to Cabinet members that although this grant will help reduce reserve levels to balance the budget in 2024-25, there are no indications as to whether this funding will be built into future settlements. And even if we assume it is, it means we still face a recurring budget deficit of over £30 million from 2025-26 onward. He added, "The extra funding does not change the underlying fact that our recurring budget position is unsustainable."
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Banham, Angela Banham, on the 18th of January, aged 83. Banyard, Hania Banyard, on the 19th of January, aged 86. Bell, Anne Bell, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, Winchester, on the 19th of January, aged 79. Benson, Doris Evelyn Benson, on the 23rd of January. Carpenter, Grace Ina Carpenter, née Jocelyn, at Pax Hill Care Home, Bentley, on the 17th of January, aged 97. Casson, John and Mavis Casson, died in Winchester on the 20th and 23rd of December. Curtin, John Thomas Curtin, at Winchester Hospice, on the 14th of January, aged 85. Drury, Elizabeth Mary Drury, on the 4th of January, aged 88. Finlay, Maureen Finlay, in Southampton General Hospital, on the 17th of January, aged 87. Gibb, Colin Daniel Gibb, on the 10th of January, aged 76. Hawkins, Brenda Hawkins, on the 22nd of January, at West Home Nursing Home, aged 93. Hayes, Joan Hayes, on the 12th of January, aged 93. Idioles, Jean Margaret Idioles, at home on the 19th of January, aged 99. Lawler, Barry Lawler, on the 15th of January, aged 84. Locke, Alan Locke, on the 9th of January, aged 88. Loudon, Gillian Ann Loudon, at Wellington Grange, on the 13th of January, aged 86. Plodowski, Pamela Plodowski, on the 23rd of January, aged 93. Reed, Valerie Reed, at home, aged 92 on the 22nd of January. Towell, Janet Towell, at Winchester Heights Nursing Home on the 8th of January, aged 76. And now we have Christian comment.
And Christian comment this week is from Rosemary Baker, entitled Christian Response to the Horrific News. Just recently, the news headlines have seemed so horrific that we might be forgiven for thinking that we'd the horror channel on the television by mistake. Two teenagers had stabbed another 28 times. Unbelievable. Yes, but this happened last year, and it was their sentencing that has hit the headlines. But more than this, I must confess, rather to my surprise, much space has been given to the mother of the victim, Brianna Guy, Esther Guy, and not just to her asking for further changes to the use of iPhones and social media by young people, but to her reaching out to the parents of the perpetrators in understanding and compassion. There have, of course, been other horrific events. The man who threw alkali over a woman and her children. And there are now less frequent updates of war in Ukraine and the Middle East. Terrible forest fires in Chile barely get a mention. The news of the King's cancer diagnosis and the rush back from America of, I hope, rather unchristian of me, his guilt-ridden son, has taken the headlines this morning, along with dental waiting lists. It must be hard to put together all those items and give each the respect and gravitas they deserve. I've taken to occasionally watching Newswatch on the BBC on Saturday mornings, when the BBC news programmes get a heady dose of criticism. So, what should Christian response be to the news? Prayer, you might answer. And indeed, most Christian church services have a slot called Prayers of Intercession, where we're asked to pray for the trouble spots of the world and those in need. Also, in the Lord's Prayer, we ask for forgiveness and the ability to forgive them who do harm to us. Next week marks the beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday clashing with St. Valentine's Day. Lent is the period of 6 weeks the Church uses as a preparation for Easter. Traditionally, it was a period of prayer and fasting, echoing Jesus' trials in the wilderness. Now, although many people still give up things for Lent, the tendency now is to try and do something where they are often seen as lacking instead. So, when going to give up chocolate, donate to a food bank. You could also still give up chocolate. Each of the major denominations has a theme for individuals and groups to follow. In some localities, churches combine, and this is a good opportunity to reinforce any teaching. If, as Christians, we follow Jesus' example and not only pray, but seek to put what we pray for into action, we might succeed in making our world a better place, even if we don't make the headlines. Empathy and compassion are important precursors of forgiveness and are perhaps all the more remarkable in today's society, where they are often seen as lacking. And that was from Rosemary A. Baker.
Next we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so either by telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or by writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. We've just got 7 letters this week, and the first two, at least, I think, relate to the health consultations regarding the new hospital. So we'll start with the first letter.
And this first letter, which is entitled Focus Skewed, is from M. Smith. I find that there are elements to Mr. Brine's letter from Westminster that I agree with. That's the Chronicle, January the 25th. The focus of the debate regarding the consultation on the proposals to Winchester Hospital has been skewed by the loud voices surrounding the closure of the A&E, accident and emergency. As it is, currently, Winchester only has an emergency department anyway. This is helpful to the Trust, though, as it distracts people from the real issue, namely, allowing it to turn Winchester Hospital into, best, a cottage hospital. The current Trust was originally Winchester and Eastleigh Health, before it was taken over by Basingstoke, which has always been given precedence over its southern counterparts. If you take the time to read the consultation questionnaire, you will see that they are framed in a way that will find in favour of the Trust. So, yes, Mr. Brine, this is getting dragged into the gutter of misinformation. That's from M. Smith, Christchurch Road, Winchester.
This letter is entitled Listen In, and it's from Andrew Beadle. The NHS public consultation meetings for the proposed Hampshire Hospital's restructure are now well underway. From various reports, it seems that there is considerable concern being expressed regarding the proposed downgrading of the A&E unit at the RHCH. In her letters from Westminster, Flick Drummond has made it clear that she supports the proposals, including the downgrading of the Winchester A&E unit. She said she had been asked by a few consultants to provide leadership on the issue and was happy to do so. Leadership also involves listening, so I hope she is attending a few public consultations to hear residents' views in order that she can represent them rather than the health establishment. And that letter's from Andrew Beadle, Milesdown Place, St Giles Hill in Winchester.
And this letter from Councillor Neil Bolton is entitled Health Concern. Regarding the Hampshire Together presentation on modernising our hospitals and health services in the Winchester district, one of the things I sought to do at the meeting on Wednesday was to shine a bright light on the untruths and misleading statements in Liberal Democrat campaign literature distributed by Danny Chambers. It is hugely unhelpful in this consultation process that the Integrated Care Board is holding with members of the public for the Liberal Democrat general election candidate to be spreading lies about this very important consultation process. The campaign literature states that Conservatives are axing services in Winchester A&E. I was pleased to get clarification from the panel that this is an independent consultation process run by Hampshire and the Isle of Wight ICB and funded by the government, by the government's National Hospital Programme, and that the decision over the options presented and the feedback will be made by the ICB in conjunction with the NHS England at the decision-making meeting planned for spring 2024. I furthermore sought to clarify that this process is not influenced by party politics, as suggested by Danny Chambers, and that no undue influence on the outcome has been brought by any Conservative or member of the government. I was pleased to hear from the panel that this was categorically not the case and there was no political pressure on the outcome from the government. It's very important, and I've made sure that I promote this across all the parish council meetings, that that I attend in my ward, that members of the public seek out the true facts about the complex nature of the problem that the ICB and NHS England are grappling with by going to the Hampshire Together website and making their own views known. It is seriously unhelpful to constructive debate that the Liberal Democrats are weaponizing this issue in the upcoming general election, rather than seek to find the best option for all our residents in patient outcomes, attracting the best NHS expertise and value for money for the taxpayer. And that's from Councillor Neil Bolton, Upper Meon Valley Ward, Winchester City Council.
Simple solution, writes Peter Jordan. I'm writing in response to Richard Wetherill's letter, Crass Monotony of Development, Chronicle February the 1st. Whilst I agree that elements of King's Barton are monotonous, it seems rather credulous of Mr. Wetherill to believe it would be much improved by having had different developers build on the site. Developers are all constrained by their need to maximise profit on a site by exploiting economies of scale in design and buying materials. Even upmarket developers like Alfred Holmes squeeze in similar houses on two small plots. And as another resident of Park Road, I think the last thing it needs is traffic lights, which would hold up traffic, belching out fumes and noise whilst waiting for a green light. It would also require a three-phase to allow pedestrians to cross. Most of the time, drivers are careful and courteous to pedestrians crossing the bridge, but then get impatient once over the bridge. So traffic lights would make this worse. A much simpler and cheaper solution would be to have a 20 mile an hour limit on the road. That letter is from Peter Jordan, Park Road, Winchester.
This letter is entitled A Traffic Danger, and it's from Graham Ryder. It was interesting to read the letter Monotony of Design at King's Barton Development, particularly as it references the noticeable increased traffic flows in the Park Road area, Chronicle February the 1st. It has to be said that this is true across the area. One only has to stand on the Andover Road, particularly in the early morning, to see the evidence. Yet incredibly, this traffic is to be redirected through the not-so-new King's Barton housing estate. Let's not forget this traffic includes polluting lorries, buses, coaches, fire engines, police cars and ambulances, possibly on emergency calls, as well as the hundreds of cars, where there are no footpaths and children are trying to get to school. Eventually, there are planned to be 2,000 new homes on King's Barton. Even the very basic of calculations indicates that a minimum of 2,000 cars will be in use on the estate. When was the last traffic study undertaken on the Andover Road to actually count the cars that will be travelling through King's Barton? I suspect the last study was long before building started at King's Barton. Things have changed, and don't forget those extra 2,000 plus cars. We can say goodbye to the proposed new entrance to Henry Beaufort School that would have rerouted the school traffic and coaches to the Andover Road to ease congestion on Priors Dean Road and Berwick Avenue. Where will be the newly discovered rat runs? What on earth are our politicians doing about this? Well, it seems they are keeping their heads down. The only people who are highlighting this appalling situation are the electorate. No amount of photo opportunities are going to change the fact that this is a complete disaster. There are elections approaching. My vote goes to a politician, local or national, who not only says fine words about this issue, but is prepared to do something to halt this costly and dangerous decision from becoming a reality. Politicians, this is the time to get your act together. There is very little time left to do something. And that's from Graham Ryder, Priors Dean Road, Hairstock in Winchester.
And this is a letter from Councillor Rob Humby entitled Fly Tip Fears. We know that fly tipping is a big concern for Hampshire residents and appreciate that it's an issue that's being linked to the County Council's current future services consultation. The consultation sets out 13 cost reduction proposals which could help towards closing the £132 million budget shortfall we expect by April 2025. Like many councils nationally, Hampshire County Council is also facing huge budget pressures in future as costs go up and more people need local services, particularly social care to protect children at risk of harm or abuse, supporting more older people and children, and adults with disabilities and additional needs. Our consultation sets out a range of savings options from the Household Waste Recycling Centre, HWRC, budget. No final decisions have been made, and it's important that we now hear as many views as possible on these options, which could include the closure of the smallest, most expensive to run HWRCs. We've considered evidence on fly tipping, and it's the case that most of this illegally discarded waste is left by unscrupulous traders undertaking unlicensed house clearances. Whilst the number of reported incidents of fly tipping, a criminal act on public land, has disappointingly risen, this has been by less than 1%, and it's important to note that the amount of fly-tipped material has reduced by almost 400 tonnes, which is a drop of around 12.5%. Plus, the data shows that some of these fly-tips will also have been reported multiple times, counting towards the total incident figures. There's been no evidence of increased fly-tipping in other parts of the country that have closed household waste disposable sites and made other service changes, suggesting that the law-abiding majority of residents is continuing to do the right thing, even if this means making some adjustments. We must make tough decisions on what we can continue to deliver from April 2025. To ensure we can provide HWRCs that continue to meet people's needs and make the most of public money, please have your say and take part in the public consultation, which is open until March the 31st. Visit www.hants.gov/UK/future-services-consultation. And this is from Councillor Rob Humby, leader of Hampshire County Council, The Castle, Winchester.
This last letter, entitled Hazardous and Antisocial, is from Keith Hatter, who incidentally is one of our listeners. Further to Stephen Peirce's letter about cafe tables in Jury Street, Chronicle, January the 18th, I should like to add the following. As one who has no sight, I frequently find myself trapped by tables, chairs and benches blocking the thoroughfare outside the premises at the High Street end of the western side of Jury Street. When in this situation this morning, I found it necessary to push and pick up items of furniture to clear a path. I pointed out to some of the cafe staff that this is unacceptable, and the manager, rather than apologising to me, said that I was speaking rudely. He appears not to know the difference between rudeness and holding a contrary opinion. He also offered the fact that he pays council tax as justification for this hazardous and antisocial practice. So does this mean that I, as one who also pays council tax, am allowed to extend my front garden onto the pavement in front of my house? A bystander entreated me to take a positive attitude towards the situation This I am doing by hoping that the cafe proprietor will take the hint and remove the clutter, thus improving the environment at the corner of Jury Street and the High Street. And that's from Keith Hatter, Arthur Road, Hyde, Winchester.
That concludes the letter, and we continue with the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, which will be followed by letter from Westminster, which this week is by Flick Drummond, the MP for the Meon Valley, and then there will be a first person. So we start off with the Hampshire Chronicle editorial.
Today's editorial comment is entitled "Bad Idea to Close Recycling Centres." Usually, when a Chronicle reporter heads out to undertake a vox pop, street interviews with passers-by about a news topic, there will be a variety of opinions given. But two recent voxes in Alsford and Bishop's Waltham at the weekend bucked that trend. People were asked about the proposed closures of the recycling centres in those towns due to cutbacks at Hampshire County Council. People had either never used the centres and had no view, or they thought the closure idea was a very bad one. An increase in fly tipping is inevitable. A letter from County Council leader Rob Humby on this page disputes the assertion that fewer tips means more people dumping their trash at the side of the road. Councillor Humby cites statistics to back this view, but we all know the dangers of those things. Common sense tells you otherwise, as happened when these facilities were made harder to access during the COVID lockdown. One sympathises with the county's chronic financial problems, but a £1 billion-plus authority should be able to find savings elsewhere.
And this letter from Flick Drummond, letter from Westminster. I spoke several times in the House of Commons in January on the situation in Gaza and in the Red Sea. My position is that we need a lasting ceasefire in Gaza and for negotiations to start for a two-state solution and the pre-1967 borders to end the war and bring lasting peace to the region. The Foreign Secretary said the UK could officially recognise a Palestinian state if there was a ceasefire in Gaza prior to an agreement between Palestinians and the Israelis, although Hamas, who are terrorists, would need to have left Gaza following its appalling attack on Israel. I support this view. I have been concerned about some Israeli comments suggesting the migration of Palestinians from Gaza, and I received an unequivocal assurance in the Commons from the government that the UK would not support any resettlement of Palestinians outside of Gaza. I also sought assurances that UK humanitarian aid to Gaza was still getting through and would continue. Aid was also top of my agenda when I spoke about the Houthi attacks on shipping in the Red Sea. I supported targeted strikes by the US and the UK to protect shipping. However, I spoke of the consequences of a prolonged series of strikes on the Yemeni people if the Houthis shut out humanitarian aid. If the ceasefire in Yemen collapses, or if navigation around the Yemeni coast becomes impossible. Yemeni imports 90% of its food, and the 17 million people are already at risk of famine. 70% of the Yemeni population live in the areas that the Houthis currently control. We must be mindful of this in addition to freedom of trade. In the same speech, I paid tribute to our service personnel on station in the Red Sea, but told MPs that we needed to treat them better if we want to keep them and recruit the people we need to keep us safe. Major issues around the quality of service accommodation persist, alongside niggly things such as the lack of free access to Wi-Fi on bases. I said our personnel need secure and happy family lives at home when they deploy. I added, if we want people to fight for our values, we must ensure that they feel valued themselves. Ships, tanks and aircraft without crews are useless. Closer to home, I would like to urge everyone to get involved in the consultation about the proposed new hospital for Mid-Hampshire. I support it being sited at Junction 7 of the M3, the preferred option. This is an up to $900 million investment in our healthcare. In our healthcare service, will remain at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, including a 24-hour urgent treatment centre, a concentration of specialist services and equipment on one purpose-built modern site with ample parking is convenient and is going to save lives. That's not just my view, it's the view of all the health leaders and experts I've spoken to. I am happy to accept they know best. Finally, the government launched Pharmacy First at the end of January. More than $600 million has been given to pharmacies across England so people can go to them for 7 common complaints and be prescribed treatment, including antibiotics. This innovation will relieve pressure on GPs and offer more convenience and choice to patients. And that's from Flick Drummond, MP, Member of Parliament for Meon Valley.
This is now the first person article this week. It's written by George Hayter and it's entitled My New Way to Tackle Winter. Excuse me. Something I bought a few weeks ago is turning out to be a life changer. My new coat could mean the end of winter as I have always known and endured it. The £135 polyester garment does something that no coat has done before. It actually keeps me warm. I am a challenge to any coat because I'm cold-blooded as a worm. All my life I have tended to shiver when others are warm, and even when they're hot. When my companions are shedding their jumpers, I am hunched with hands in pockets. The cause of my icy condition may be languid metabolism, or it may be that I'm quite thin and don't have enough fat for normal human insulation. Now, what is this amazing coat I've bought? Basically, it's a duvet, but a duvet with two arms, several pockets, and a zip from chin to shins. The fashion industry doesn't market these mobile cocoons as duvet coats. They seem to call them puffer coats, baffle coats, or padded coats. The shops are full of them. And in the street, you must have seen people wrapped up in them, particularly women. Now, men too are taking to wrapping themselves in the Wonder Garment with its duvet-style padding bulging in every dimension. On TV news, I saw a top politician wearing a duvet coat as he headed for a meeting at the Cabinet Office. That encouraged me to buy one. You know, if a minister can wear one and it's smart enough for Whitehall, then it's smart enough for me to wear in Winchester, I told myself. I'd been considering such a purchase for months because I had pondered the similarity between A, the stuffing in duvets, and things like B, loft insulation, and C, the wool on sheep. They are all light and fluffy and don't let heat through. Despite my worm-like physiology, I didn't get round to splashing out on a so-called winter coat till about 3 years ago. It was a formal wool tweed-looking thing with a posh velvet collar. It left me cold. Not light and fluffy enough to keep heat in. It was heavy and thin and let heat out, especially round my poor back, which froze. I felt warm as toast the minute I tried on my duvet coat in the shop. I wore it home, and all the way my body felt like it was still indoors. Duvet coats are brilliant. Mine is changing my life, because now I can venture out and exercise in wind and ice. Without getting cold, I should enjoy better health, less prone to colds, flu and worse. The coat could even change where I live. I had been planning to spend winters abroad when I get older, but now I'm more likely to stay in Hampshire. Duvet coats are increasingly widespread, so prices are likely to fall. I think they will have a beneficial effect on the world. They are a revolution, as yet unnoticed. For old people in cold climates around the globe, duvet coats will bring freedom of movement in winter. For the desperate poor, unable to afford adequate heating, duvet coats will at least provide a comfortable garment that will keep them warm at home. The effect of that is likely to be greater longevity and, in Britain, less pressure on the NHS. People of all ages will find themselves doing more outdoors in winter. Maybe outdoor events in winter will become bigger. Relieved of miserable winter cold, people should be happier. Even the planet stands to benefit through fewer people turning up the heating when getting in frozen stiff after a chilling time outside. That means less carbon emission. If you doubt that a clothing fashion can be a revolution, look to the hands-free backpack, which has changed the world. Until the mid-1980s, indispensable backpacks were worn only by youths, soldiers, and people on expeditions.
Right. How does one follow that? Well, we'll just come to the week's announcements. There are a number of what's on items. Maybe going out and getting a puffer coat is one.
Top of the list.
Top of the list. Until Sunday, the 18th of February, in Winchester Cathedral, there will be a touring artwork entitled Festival of the Moon. On Tuesday the 13th of February, which is Shrove Tuesday, the pancake races will be held outside the cathedral at 12:30. On Thursday the 15th of February through to Saturday the 17th of February, the Encore Youth Theatre will be performing the musical Guys and Dolls at the Theatre Royal at 7:30 p.m. each evening, together with a matinee performance on Saturday the 17th at 2:30. If you need more information on what book tickets, the box office telephone number for the Theatre Royal is 01962 840440. That's 01962 840440. On Saturday the 17th of February, Sound Winchester is holding a free event in the Arc Jury Street from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. showcasing the city's music makers, writers, teachers and performers. And also on Saturday the 17th of February, Winchester City Festival Choir invites you to a free afternoon, though donations will be welcome, of songs, cakes and conversations at St Paul's Church at 2:30 p.m. On Wednesday the 21st of February, the UK's number one boy band, Take That, celebrate 30 years at the Theatre Royal at 7:30 p.m. And on Thursday the 29th of February, the Winchester Comedy Festival will present a spring gala of stand-up comedy at the Theatre Royal, also again at 7:30. And I'll just give you the box office telephone number for the Theatre Royal. Again, 01962 840440. And then looking ahead, on Saturday the 23rd of March, Southern Voices will be giving a surround performance of the 40-voice motet Spem in Allium by Thomas Tallis at St Cross at 7:30 p.m. So, quite a bit going on. Sunrise is around 7:30 in the mornings, and at sunset is about 5:10 in the afternoons. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Just before we start off with the remaining news stories, I've been asked to make a clarification on one of the items of the What's On, and I will read the full item because it may have my abbreviated version may have caused some misapprehension. Okay, it's the Take That Experience at 7:30 p.m. on the Wednesday the 21st of February. As Take That celebrate over 30 years as the UK's number one boy band, the Take That Experience marks over a decade together as their most popular and recognised tribute act. And that will be, as I say, at the Theatre Royal Winchester on the Wednesday the 21st of February at 7:30. Right, we now, having made that clarification, for the avoidance of doubt, as they say, we will now continue with further items of news interest.
Drugs seized in police raid. Police seized a quantity of cannabis from an address on a Winchester estate. Officers carried out a warrant at an address in Chatham Road, Stanmore, on Thursday, February the 1st. It happened just days after a man in his 20s was stabbed at an address in Chatham Road. The arrest by members of Winchester's Criminal Investigation Department, Neighbourhood Policing and District Policing teams is part of an investigation into the supply of drugs in the city. In a Facebook post, Winchester Police said a quantity of cannabis, a phone and a SIM card were seized. Enquiries are ongoing. There were quite a few officers at the scene, some of whom carried out house-to-house inquiries. We'd like to thank the local community for their patience while we carried out the warrant. We'd also like to take this opportunity to say that we appreciate the information you submit on drug-related harm. Any information we receive helps us to build a bigger intelligence picture so we can then target our resources accordingly. There is a lot of vulnerability associated with the drugs trade, and it's no secret that some people are often exploited and coerced into dealing drugs. If you know of someone who has started behaving differently lately, going missing or becoming more withdrawn, associating with the wrong people, or has started wearing expensive clothes or jewellery, then it's possible they are being groomed and exploited. Report this information to us via 101 or our website, or call the independent charity Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. That's 0800 555 111. In an emergency, always dial 999.
Plans to house refugees in city centre property. Plans to convert a city centre property into temporary housing for Ukrainian and Afghan refugees have been submitted. In November, Winchester City Council triggered £610,000 for the refurbishment of 59 Colebrook Street. The City Council has now submitted a planning application to convert the building into a house in multiple occupation, HMO, and add bike storage. The applicant is named as Michael Cowan, Corporate Building Surveyor at Winchester City Council. It will have 6 private rooms as well as shared space. Speaking at a meeting in November last year, Councillor Chris Westwood, Cabinet Member for Housing, said, "This will provide accommodation for people on various government resettlement schemes. The property meets the need for temporary accommodation. It's in a good central location with good access to training and is near all transport links. It is expected that the council's use for this property would be predominantly Ukrainians." By Sunday, February the 4th, no public comments in support or objection had been submitted. However, Phil Tidridge from the City Council's Environmental Protection Team had concerns about potential noise pollution. He said, "This premises is close proximity to commercial uses, including a pub with late-night opening hours with an outside area to the rear. I therefore recommend you to seek a full noise assessment report before deciding on this application." The application's planning statement said, "There is a growing demand for smaller accommodation in the district due to a number of factors, and these six-bedroom units with their associated communal spaces and ancillary facilities will provide much-needed temporary accommodation in this city centre location, close to services and good transport facilities. This will be done without the need to alter the building externally. The building will be renovated, strengthened, improved and repaired as required. A leaking chimney will be removed as part of the works. Internally, six generous private rooms will be provided, arranged around the current positions of the fenestration and circulation spaces. The shared facilities and ancillary areas have been arranged around the primary rooms, and again to leave the existing building fabric as undisturbed as possible."
Rise in numbers at Christmas services. Winchester Cathedral is celebrating an increase of more than 20% in the number of people going to its December services. The figures showed a 23% rise for Christmas services and a notable 28% rise overall during Advent. The cathedral says this attendance, reflecting a trend that's been seen nationally, is a testament to its aim to meet changing needs and expectations, especially among Christmas market visitors. The introduction of a Winchester Christmas, which organisers said resonated strongly with family audiences, alongside the traditional Advent, Christmas Evensong and market carol services, contributed to the increase. The very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester, said, "I was delighted to see attendance at Winchester Cathedral's Christmas services not only reach but surpass pre-pandemic levels as part of a pattern of increased church attendance nationally. The packed services brought a wonderful spirit and energy which only added to the glorious worship led by our choirs and the sound of the newly restored church organ. We look forward to welcoming many more people this year to the beautiful and moving services of Lent and Easter." She said the figures serve as a promising indicator that recovery from the challenges posed by the pandemic is well underway.
Critical NHS status ends. The trust which runs hospitals in Hampshire has stepped down from a critical incident status, which was declared after beds at two of its hospitals were all fully occupied. As previously reported, Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, HHFT, declared the incident on Tuesday, January the 30th, because of sustained pressures at Winchester and Basingstoke hospitals. The Trust said the decision was not taken lightly, but said that beds at both hospitals were full, with attendance at emergency departments extremely high. As a result, there was no capacity to admit further patients needing care at either of the hospitals. A statement issued by the Trust on Thursday, February the 1st, said it had now withdrawn the critical incident. The statement added, "Whilst we have now stepped down from this critical incident, it's still incredibly important that we protect care for those who need it most, and our communities can help us with this by only attending the emergency department for a life-threatening illness or injury." The Trust statement continued, "If a friend or loved one is ready for discharge, please help by collecting them at the earliest opportunity."
Hampshire Search and Rescue, boosted by £20,000. Funding from Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, SSEN, is helping Hampshire Search and Rescue, HANSAR, begin the year with a new vehicle which will help them with their life-saving work. The charity applied for the money through SSEN's Resilient Communities Fund, RCF, and with an award of £20,000, it's bought an Incident Support Unit, ISU. The organisation says the ISU vehicle is vital for the dedicated team of volunteers who are on call 24 hours a day throughout the year. The specially kitted out vehicle will have a multi-purpose use. Its essential purpose will be to carry rescue and medical equipment. Outside its main rescue role, the vehicle will be a feature at awareness and fundraising events. Transporting the display equipment that enables the charity to promote its work and highlight the extensive training and equipment required. Trevor Weidler, Vice Chairman of HANSAR, said, "It's been quite a journey to get this new Incident Support Unit vehicle on the road, so we are delighted to have now taken receipt of the keys and had the vehicle wrapped in our instantly recognisable HANSAR branding. This has only been possible through the much appreciated support and generosity of SSEN."
Road on track for reopening after a year. A road in Winchester that's been closed for nearly a year is on track to reopen soon, following the replacement of a 100-year-old bridge. Hampshire County Council has confirmed Garnier Road by St Cross should be reopening this month. The £1.4 million scheme to replace Tunbridge was due to be finished in November, but was delayed due to unexpected issues, including the discovery of further deterioration, utility works and vandalism. The council is yet to confirm a precise date, but says the works remain on track for the revised date of February. Garnier Road was first closed in March last year, reducing business for the Handlebar Cafe. Company director Heather Evans previously said the cafe was struggling to survive through the closure. Ms. Evans is concerned the cafe will continue to be hit by the closure of the cycle path from Garnier Road car park to the M3 Link Road. Winchester City Council told the business the path would be closed for 5 weeks from Tuesday, February the 20th, for tree felling. Ms. Evans said, "So, just as we are seeing the bridge near completion and finishing touches being completed, just as we begin to think we can hope for better passing trade and better trading figures, we find out from the City Council that the cycle path will be closed for tree felling. We are shocked and stunned that another factor beyond our control will affect our trade. Whilst we are glad the trees are being dealt with, and we are glad it's this time of year rather than the summer, we just hope people will keep coming to visit the area. We understand the path will be open at weekends, which does lessen the blow."
High Street shop vacancy rate at lowest since 2019. The shop vacancy rate in Winchester City Council, City Centre, has more than halved in 3 years, according to recent figures. Winchester Business Improvement District's latest business barometer report said the rate is 5% down compared to 12.4% in 2021 at the height of the COVID crisis. Openings in the High Street over the last year include Mooch, Wenzel's Bakery, Suave Owl, Claire's, Naffy and John D. Wood & Co. The national picture shows a High Street vacancy of 13.8%, nearly three times the Winchester figure. The bid report said in mid-January 2024, the city centre vacancy rate was 7.6%, 7.7% at the start of 2023. The vacancy rate at the Brooks Centre is 19%, close to the National Shopping Centre vacancy rate of 18.2%. The High Street vacancy rate has fallen further to 5%. It is now at its lowest rate since January 29, 2019, when it was 3.9%. The report also gave feedback on the Winchester Cathedral Christmas market. It said, "The most numerous suggestions about the ways to make the market even more appealing to customers were, look at what other Christmas markets are doing, especially those in Nottingham and Southampton. The council should ensure that there are no roadworks during the time of the Christmas market." Winchester Bid Executive Director Paul Spencer said, "Given the ongoing impact of the cost of living crisis, high interest rates and continuing uncertainties, the results of the latest Winchester Business Barometer survey are very positive. This demonstrates the high levels of determination of local businesses to succeed despite a tough economic environment."
Best Laid Burns Night scheme raised £5,700. More than £5,700 was raised for Alzheimer's research at a Burns Night Cayley. Otterbourne Village Hall came alive on Saturday, January the 27th, as the local community gathered to celebrate. It was organised by Anthony Layden, Lynn Chapman and Paula Still, whose family has been directly impacted by Alzheimer's. They orchestrated an evening that paid homage to Scottish traditions, including piping in the haggis, Robbie Burns poems and speeches. The event, enjoyed by more than 150 people, featured a spirited Cayley band, poured in from local businesses, which provided raffle and auction prizes. The organisers expressed their gratitude for the overwhelming support.
Super popular specialist bakery makes market debut. A Rumsey business which started making cinnamon buns during the pandemic has made its Winchester market debut. The Swedish baking studio is Winchester High Street's newest regular market trader, offering freshly made cinnamon buns every Friday. The business was founded by Darren Barrett and his wife Anna around 4 years ago during the pandemic. Anna left her job in hospitality, whilst Darren ditched his career in the property industry to pursue the new venture. The couple, who live in Rumsey, started with a delivery service, but now host market stalls and cater for events too, with more than 20 different flavours. Anna, who's from Sweden, bakes all the buns each day. And Mr. Barrett, 54, said, "It's been good coming to Winchester because we have always had a lot of customers up here. It's a great product, with everything being baked fresh on the day, and it's really good value for money too. There are lots of different flavours and choices. They are all super popular."
Family support charity celebrates move. Family support charity Home Start Winchester has celebrated moving into bright new offices. In January, it relocated from Lanton's Nursery to the Carroll Centre in Stanmore. Staff had been getting everything ready for a move early in the new year. Liz Stannard, service manager, said, "There are so many people we would like to thank, but special mention must go to Steve Maynard, who laid new laminate flooring in the main office, to Howden's, Wicks, Juicens, Brewers and our sponsors Utilita, who give us such consistent backing. We've had such a warm welcome from the Carroll Centre too, which provides a community cafe, food pantry and soft play area, and we look forward to working alongside them in our work supporting local families. Home Start Winchester Chairman Stephanie Durrant cut the ribbon to declare the new offices open at a lunch party that included staff, volunteers and trustees past and present, as well as Carroll Centre representatives. She said, in 2016, Hampshire County Council slashed the number of children's centres as a cost-cutting measure in the county from 50 to 11. This left Winchester families high and dry, as the nearest council-maintained centre was then in Wickham. The Carroll Centre fought tooth and nail to stay open for families in the city, and it has become something of a bastion of support in the local community, which makes it, for us, the perfect fit.
Civic chiefs agree rent increases for tenants. Civic chiefs have agreed to increase the rent on city council properties across the district. The rent will rise by 7.7%, in line with inflation and rising building costs. The increases were discussed at Winchester City Council's Housing Cabinet Committee on Monday, February 5th. The meeting heard that the council consulted tenants and councils together, TACT, TACT, about the proposals. TACT is a group of council tenants that civic chiefs meet regularly. The council's report said a 7.7% rent increase would mean the average weekly social rent for existing tenants will be £123.39 a week, an increase of £8.82 per week. The average weekly affordable rent for existing tenants will be £199.45 a week, an increase by £14.26 a week. Councillor Chris Westwood, Cabinet Member for Housing, said, "We're in a period of high inflation and building costs have increased by 23% in the last year. We have around 5,000 council homes in the Winchester district. Increasing rent is always a difficult decision. TACT supports the decision. We are very thankful for their help. Despite challenging circumstances, I believe this is a strong plan." Julian Perkins, TACT member, said, "We're grateful to the council for taking us on board. The consultation gave us a more informed view of how inflation impacts this. The rent increase will be rubber stamped at the next full council meeting."
Business leaders gather for annual awards launch. Business leaders from across the city gathered at Chesil House for the launch of the Winchester Business Excellence Awards. These awards serve as a testament to the entrepreneurial spirit that thrives within the district. The awards are sponsored by Paris Smith, Dutton Gregory, Winchester City Council, Winchester University, Winchester BID, Trithowens, Ridge and Partners, and J.M. Finn. In addition, the awards receive valuable support from Nat West, Honey and Harvey, Little Kitchen, and Chesil House. Mark Hickson from Richard Steele and Partners, who run Chesil House, said, "The opportunity to hear from previous award winners and meet potential nominees for the current year's awards continues to be one of the highlights of our year at Chesil House." The Winchester Business Excellence Awards invite nominations from various sectors, whether it's a forward-thinking startup, a pioneering enterprise, or an establishment dedicated to community impact, all are encouraged to participate. Nominations can be submitted by the businesses themselves or by those who have witnessed their exceptional growth. The names of the three finalists in each category will be unveiled on Thursday, May the 2nd. The awards evening will be on Thursday, May the 30th. Winchester City Council will award the Millennium Egg to a business or individual who has made an impact on the area. The Business of the Year award will be chosen from the category winners. Nominations for this year's Winchester Business Excellence Awards are open until Thursday, April the 18th. The awards package includes a £500 multimedia advertising prize for each category winner, valid until December the 31st.
Doctor named as one of UK's top 100 leaders. A Hampshire doctor has been crowned one of the UK's most impressive females by Small Business Britain. Dr. Nina Fuller-Shavel from Winchester is being profiled among 100 inspirational female entrepreneurs from across the country as part of the campaign to celebrate the achievements of women running businesses in the UK. Dr. Fuller-Shavel founded the Synthesis Clinic in Stockbridge in 2019 to provide a more personalised approach to women's health and cancer care. The Winchester doctor was also highlighted for co-founding Onzio CIC, a non-profit organisation that launched an oncology digital health app last year. Onzio is the first free app available to adults affected by cancer, encouraging them to put self-management tools and strategies into action. Dr. Fuller-Shavel said, "My team and I greatly appreciate this recognition of our innovative work at Synthesis Clinic and Onzio CIC in advancing whole person cancer support in the UK." The clinic founder has also co-authored Integrative Oncology in Breast Cancer Care. The book, being published in March, guides care teams on managing a person's breast cancer care, including supporting better quality of life, improving resilience, minimizing the side effects of treatment, and optimizing clinical outcomes. The campaign offers events, training, and networking opportunities to boost skills, capability, and confidence. Michelle Ovens, CBE, founder of Small Business Britain, said, "Congratulations to Dr. Nina, founder of Synthesis Clinic, and each of the phenomenal women featured in this year's top 100 list. It is so important that we call out the incredible contribution of women running businesses across the UK."
Dementia Support Centre and Social Hub opened. A Winchester charity helping older people to live well has opened its second Memory Wellbeing Centre to support its dementia service. St John's Winchester launched the centre at Barchester's Shawford Springs Care Home in Otterbourne Road. Expanding on the success of its existing Memory Wellbeing Centre, run in partnership with Everybody Active, St John's is working with Barchester Healthcare, aiming to create a safe and stimulating environment for people facing the challenges of dementia, while supporting their families and carers. The centre, which opened on Wednesday, January the 24th, is designed to be a social hub where those with dementia can gather, take part in different activities, talk to other members, and receive personalised support from the St John's Dementia Support Team. The team said, "By doing this, new friendships are formed and people are enjoying life again rather than feeling isolated and alone." The new centre will run every second and fourth Wednesday of the month from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Due to the centre's location, the team has a maximum capacity of members and carers that they can support and will be running sessions on a rolling six-month basis.
TV presenter gives crowd a history hit at packed event. Scores of people got a history hit as award-winning TV presenter and historian Dan Snow gave a talk at Winchester College. The event on Friday, February the 2nd, was organised by the Hampshire History Trust and saw Dan captivate the audience with his tales of adventure and opinions on great moments in history, as well as giving the crowd a teaser of his new show, Shackleton, The Story of Endurance, a three-part documentary that retraces one of the greatest stories of polar exploration. Dan became a patron of the Trust last year, and his talk was held to promote this year's events and the Trust's Membership Friends scheme. He said, "It's great to connect people in this historical county with their history. To many people, London is where all the action is, but Winchester is a fascinating medieval city in an amazing county that is rich in history. These types of events help people connect with where they live and gives them pride. When you come from somewhere amazing, you are more likely to go on to do amazing things." Dan, who lives in Exbury, is well known for his many contributions to historical programmes, and his work has been seen across various television series, including Dan Snow on Lloyd George, My Great-Great-Grandfather, Pompeii, The Discovery with Dan Snow, and Locomotion, Dan Snow's History of Railways. Dan started his History Hit podcasts in 2015, and it's become the UK's number one history podcast. Dan was awarded an MBE in 2019 for his impact on history education. After his talk, he answered questions from the audience on a range of subjects, including whether or not a statue should reflect modern day thinking, how young people can be inspired into history, and what moments in time he would most like to have witnessed firsthand. Richard North from Hampshire History Trust thanked Dan and said the Trust would like to hold more similar events, especially after last summer's successful talk from historian Alice Loxton. Hampshire History Trust was set up to promote and advance the rich and diverse history and heritage of the county, and to run free and low-cost educational projects for the public benefit. Hampshire History Trust organises Winchester Heritage Open Days every year, a 10-day free festival of history and heritage centred on Winchester, but also extending into surrounding towns and villages. It also runs a podcast channel, Hampshire Hist Bites, which offers everyone the opportunity to delve into the past. This year's Heritage Open Day event takes place from September the 6th to the 15th with the theme of Roots, Networks and Connections, celebrating the movement of people and ideas through time.
Restaurant celebrates move to bigger premises. A city centre Thai restaurant is celebrating its move across Jury Street to a bigger location. Bangkok Bistro took over the former Prezzo unit directly opposite its former restaurant on December the 4th. Mif Kayum, who also runs Kyoto Kitchen in Bridge Street, bought the lease after Prezzo moved out in April. Bangkok Bistro opened in 2020 at the end of the first COVID lockdown. Mr. Kayum had a range of issues when moving Kyoto Kitchen from Parchment Street to Bridge Street, but told the Chronicle Bangkok Bistro's move had been smoother. He said it was all hands on deck, with everybody chipping in. We desperately needed the extra space, not just for the customers, but also the kitchen staff. We were right to get it open before Christmas. We had a terrific Christmas season. It was great to see Winchester generally had a very successful Christmas. We had a lot of positive feedback.
Players back King Alfred buses. An amateur theatre group presented £500 to the Friends of King Alfred Buses, FKAB, following a devastating fire. The worthy players joined members of FOCAB for a check presentation ceremony in the Broadway, with the performers later being treated to a ride on a 1929 Leyland Lion bus through the city. 8 historic buses and coaches were destroyed in a blaze in an industrial unit near Andover in December. Martin Pettigrew, chairman of the players, said, "We are proud to be able to support the Friends of King Alfred buses through our charity donation this year, following the devastating fire the group and its members suffered."
Bank choice leads to disappointment. A high street bank has decided to have a mobile van in Wickham instead of Bishop's Waltham, much to the disappointment of local businesses. Barclays had been investigating where to have the mobile facility over the past week. This comes after Lloyds and Barclays closed their branches in Bishop's Waltham. Now residents can use the post office for banking services, and there's a cash machine inside the co-op. A post on Bishop's Waltham Parish Council's Facebook page from Barclays said, "We can confirm that we visited Bishop's Waltham and Wickham on a number of occasions when we were originally seeking a location in the area, with a view to us either being in Bishop's Waltham or Wickham, as they are less than 5 miles apart from each other. As Wickham Square was much busier from a footfall perspective, we decided to go with that location. Unfortunately, we will not be looking to add an additional van visit to Bishop's Waltham, as Wickham is nearby along with Barclays branches in Fareham, Southampton and Winchester. It's important that the van travels around other locations to ensure as many customers as possible have easy access to Barclays." Jenna Dempsey of Highlands Fruit and Vegetable Shop in High Street said, "We had the two banks shut within quite a short time of each other, so the only facilities for getting money out are the post office and the ATM in the co-op. But we have an awful lot of elderly people in the community who, when they have an issue, need to talk to someone face to face. That has now completely gone." Luke Jeffs of Grover Butchers said, "There are a lot of people who do like to use the banks. When Lloyd's closed, people moved over to Barclays because they couldn't travel. It just made it easier for a lot of people. So if the van is moving, that will cause a fuss. More and more things seem to be moving out of the village, which are needed, like banks. Cash points have disappeared, so one had to be put in at the co-op. There are a lot of people who like having everything here. Taking it away does cause a bit of trouble."
Health proposal would improve cancer care. Hampshire Hospital staff say the plans for a new hospital will improve services for people with cancer. Proposals to invest up to £900 million in North and Mid Hampshire would see a new cancer treatment centre at a new specialist acute hospital, which would be built on the current Basingstoke Hospital site or near to Junction 7 of the M3 at Dummer. The plans have been controversial over the proposed downgrading of Winchester's A&E. The Royal Hampshire County Hospital would be refurbished and a 24/7 urgent treatment centre opened. The maternity unit at the hospital would also be downgraded to a midwife-led. Dr. Charlotte Hutchings, a local GP and clinical director for North and Mid Hampshire at NHS Hampshire and Isle of Wight Integrated Care Board, said, "We want to significantly improve the quality of care that we provide to people with cancer and with suspected cancer. We want to make sure diagnostic tests and scans are easy to access, with results available swiftly. New one-stop clinics will mean patients can combine 3 or 4 traditional outpatient appointments into one visit, and rapid results from tests will mean we can start their treatment sooner. There are, of course, numerous types of cancer, and everyone experiences their illness diagnosis, care and treatment differently. We want to make sure that the care we give people and their families is tailored and personalised as much as possible. Steve Arnold, consultant surgeon and associate medical director for cancer services at Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, said, "New and developing technology would mean we can work better with our colleagues in public health and our local GPs, as well as expand our work with local community groups, with education around reducing the risk of cancer and spotting the early signs. We're also looking at innovative ways to detect cancer earlier. GPs would be able to refer patients with suspected cancer directly to the best specific test to look for cancer, or to new one-stop clinics where patients would get support from clinical nurse specialists and other healthcare professionals. The Cancer Treatment Centre would provide comprehensive cancer services, therapies, advice and information to help improve the experiences of people living with and beyond cancer for all local people affected by the disease."
MP backs help for rural shops. Meon Valley MP Flick Drummond has thrown her support behind more help for rural convenience stores following a report that showed they are facing multiple challenges. The Association of Convenience Stores, ACS, Rural Shop Report said government assistance is needed to tackle retail crime and shop theft by acknowledging the unique factors such as limited police presence and extended response times. The report also said access to cash was important as there is lower digital banking usage in rural areas. More investment in digital infrastructure was another request. Mrs. Dummond has campaigned for better mobile and broadband coverage.
Water company calls off wastewater plan. Southern Water has abandoned its proposal to pump substantial quantities of wastewater into the River Test, including at a site of special scientific interest, that's SSSI. This decision comes after mounting opposition from residents concerned about the ecological impact. Southern Water was planning to flush out water to the River Test at various locations to avoid water and sewage entering people's homes. The areas included Long Parish, Appleshaw and Chill Bolton Cow Common, which is an SSSI. The residents in the Chill Bolton Cow Common area were informed the pumping would start on Thursday, January the 25th, as the company set up temporary systems. However, this was postponed after a community backlash. Southern Water has now said it has listened to local councillors and other stakeholders and decided to not pump water in this area. Instead, it will be using water tankers to carry excess water away to nearby treatment works. Alex Saunders, head of wastewater networks at Southern Water, said, "We're sorry for the noise and disruption this 24-hour operation may cause. Following testing of emergency preparations, pipes and pumping equipment have been removed from the site." Southern Water said the infiltration reduction plan, which called for pumping of groundwater from sewers into the River Test, was drawn up in cooperation with stakeholders following the floods of 2012. However, the company decided not to enact it this time.
Charity's new chief. One of Winchester's oldest charities is preparing to welcome a new chief executive. Tim Bissett will succeed Clive Cook as chief executive of St John's Winchester in April. Mr. Bissett is the current director of the St. Martin in the Fields charity, which supports people experiencing homelessness and frontline workers across the UK. St. John's said, Tim will bring executive, management, leadership and fundraising experience to St. John's through positions at environmental charity Groundwork and the Church Urban Fund, and we're very much looking forward to welcoming him on board.
And a new chief executive has also been appointed at Marwell Wildlife, the charity which runs Marwell Zoo. Laura Reed, who has 20 years of experience in leadership roles within the destination management, retail, hospitality and event sector, is joining from West Quay Shopping Centre, where she is currently destination director. She is also the chair of Southampton Forward, the city's cultural trust, which aims to promote the region through festivals, events and tourism. She graduated from the University of Warwick with a BSc in Biological Sciences. Laura will take up the position in March. She said, Marwell is somewhere I've been coming to since I was a child, and in turn, somewhere I have brought my own children, so it is a special place for me. When I graduated, I wanted very much to work in the field of conservation, but for many reasons, life took me in a different direction. Now, having the opportunity to combine a lifelong passion with my years of commercial experience in an organisation as regionally, nationally and internationally renowned as Marwell Wildlife is a dream come true. I am looking very much forward to applying my skills to grow and develop Marwell, both as a fantastic zoo experience for our visitors and also as a globally leading force in the preservation of biodiversity. That concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom,
goodbye,
John Richards,
goodbye,
and Jane Rutter,
goodbye,
and from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 5 p.m.